Mecum Auctions, the world's largest collector car auction company, returns to Indy with Dana Mecum's 37th Original Spring Classic, May 10th through the 18th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. 3,000 muscle cars, Corvettes, exotics, and more. Broadcast on Motor Trend TV and streaming live on Max. From avid collectors to those new to the Mecum experience, we welcome everyone. Register to bid now at Mecum.com.
Comes to town, how's her first press conference, and Indianapolis made it super awkward. Well, not Indianapolis. One Indianapolis resident. Oh, it's a fascinating story because it has nothing to do with what people think is the story. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Good to be with you. The phone number 317-239-9393. That's how you get to be a part of the show. I will get to what it is Greg Doyle said to Caitlin Clark. I will get to that story. What I think is funny is that local news is not discussing this, but national news is all over this. I have reasons to discuss. There's something very important to learn from all of it. Yeah, trust me, that's coming up. You should know that this Trump case, where Trump is there in court in New York for doing nothing wrong, but the district attorney, Alvin Bragg, he decided to say, hey, it's a felony to write a check for hush money, even though... it's not a felony to write a check for hush money, but they've decided to make it a felony because it's Trump. Well, this has got the press's attention, as we've discussed. And now it has Rosie O'Donnell betting Bill O'Reilly on the outcome. What am I more amazed by? Rosie O'Donnell has a bet with Bill O'Reilly? Or that on News Nation, Chris Cuomo's show is an interview with Bill O'Reilly and Rosie O'Donnell. Everybody's entitled to have an opinion and have a thought. And if you want to have a show and have them on, hey, I have guests on it. Sure. But isn't that just the proof that the whole thing isn't serious? That everybody knows it isn't serious? And it's just, you know... The bloodlust is a lot of fun. The bloodlust is super enjoyable. Let's just go at it. That the whole thing is nothing more to these people than the idea of
two men enter, one man leaves. Two men enter, one man leaves. Two men enter, one man leaves.
Once you start seeing bets on cable news. Aren't we right to say, yeah, I'm not paying any attention? This is all just weird. Like, this is weirder than Mitt Romney saying, I'll bet you $10,000. And what made that weird is who puts out a $10,000 bet? You bet a buck, you bet $100, you bet $20, you bet $10 million if you're one of those guys. $10,000? That's some elitist thing going on right there, and that was always the point. Speaking of an elitist thing, Greg Doyle of the Indy Star has apologized. I will break this down the way nobody else will, because, as always, we are more honest than everybody else. That's coming up. I'm Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy and and in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
I don't have to preface it, but I think that I should in order to better bring about a result. And the result that I'm trying to bring about is that the issue that you are about to be presented with has absolutely nothing to do with what is said. Because you are not the problem. And saying that you are part of the problem doesn't mean that the problem actually exists. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. The popcorn moment, let's go. It's a story you need to hear to believe, then grab your popcorn, because there is more. This is the story of Greg Doyle, sports writer for the Indy Star, and Caitlin Clark. Now with the Indiana Fever, the college basketball phenom, who hopefully is going to bring a lot of good things to Indianapolis. I should preface this by saying I'm not a fan of Greg Doyle's, and Greg Doyle is not a fan of mine, and when I say I'm not a fan, I don't have a way of kind of rating him as a sports writer. I don't have that skill set. The not being a fan comes from, if you're writing about sports and you write about your cat that has passed away, I think that that's just not okay. I'm not saying that you don't feel bad about your cat. I'm saying that that's not a story for a sports column. The other is that a few years ago, I was on Fox News, and people said I made fun of Joe Biden's stutter, which never, ever happened. I could have said it cleaner. I admitted to that, but I did not make fun of his stutter. Now, some people say it's because he doesn't have a stutter. Well, don't let reality get in the way. People yelling and screaming on social media. The struggle session was on. You know, like Chairman Mao, right? How dare you think that relativity is real science? That's a thing of the West. You will only believe this, and let's put the dunce cap on you and put you in front of 1,000 of your peers and show them what happens if you should disagree with the great Chairman Mao. Struggle sessions is what they were called. And that, of course, is what happens on social media in this cancel culture society. The struggle session. How dare you say this? How dare you say that? And then the people who told me that I was insulting Joe Biden then called me fat and the best, still the best, beaver teeth. To this day, don't know what to do with that information. I had nothing to apologize for. Nothing. But of course, it was people like Greg Doyle who were putting on Twitter, you should apologize. Two words, I'm sorry. It sounds so good. It makes you feel so good. I didn't do anything wrong. Same cannot be said of Greg Doyle, who had, when Caitlin Clark did her press conference yesterday, had this very odd interaction with her.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, cool. Let's start doing it to me and we'll be able to get along just fine. So, question is.
Now, you ask yourself, what did he do? Greg Doyle made a little, like, heart symbol with his hands. It's something that Caitlin Clark does towards her family, and he did that to her. Now that you know what he did, listen again.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me and we'll be able to get along just fine. So, question is.
There's a tremendous number of things here that are awkward. First, that a grown man would make that gesture with his hands. That a grown man would make that gesture with his hands, I would argue, is awkward. That a grown man would make that gesture with his hands towards someone he doesn't know is awkward. That a grown man would make that gesture with his hands towards someone he doesn't know who's a 22-year-old girl, woman, is awkward. That a grown man would make that gesture with his hands towards a 22-year-old woman and he is a professional who is covering her in the sport is awkward. And then to say, after she says, I make that gesture to my family after every game, well, make that gesture to me and everything will be fine. That's just weird. It's just weird. Well, people picked up on this. And they put the dunce cap on Greg Doyle. And they put the struggle session on Greg Doyle. Greg Doyle, the minute the struggle session began, collapsed. Now, he should have recognized that he was wrong. We're going to get to that in a second. But I start with how he started. When he saw these things coming at him, he puts on X, today, in my uniquely oafish way, while welcoming Caitlin Clark to Indy, I formed my hands into her signature heart. My comment afterward was clumsy and awkward. I sincerely apologize. Please know my heart, literally and figuratively, was well-intentioned. I will do better. Now, it should be noted that a few years back, as someone found on Twitter, because there's a tweet for everything, a post for everything, Greg Doyle said, anybody who uses the term, I will do better on this platform is ridiculous. Like, those people are just being pathetic. But I noted that he wrote, today in my uniquely oafish way. You see, it was just me being a little clumsy and awkward. Oopsie. Still, no recognition of how awkward and how, yes, creepy it came across. Even if he didn't intend it that way, this is how it came across, which then leads to an article that is entitled, Caitlin Clark, I'm so sorry, on Wednesday, I was part of the problem. And he talks about how he talks this way with these people and that people, and he does it with Chuck Pagano and Frank Reich and Shane Steichen and Zach Edey. And he says, notice something about all those names? Question mark. They're all men. But he says, what I've learned is that I need to be more aware of how I talk to people, not just athletes. I realized that only after my exchange with Clark went viral and I navigated the first two stages of grief during a discussion with people I care about the most. The denial and the anger. I didn't do anything wrong. How come everyone's angry with me? This is just how I talk to everyone. And someone had to say to him, but Caitlin Clark is a young woman, and you don't talk to a young woman the same you would a young man. And his heart dropped because he was ignorant. But he started the piece with, I was part of the problem. Well, I think the question is, what problem are you referring to? Because I'm not part of a problem. I haven't done anything wrong. You, dear people listening on WIBC, you're not part of the problem. You didn't do anything wrong. What problem are you a part of, Greg Doyle? Or is this yet another example of your inability to understand that you made a mistake, plain and simple? You see, the problem is toxic masculinity, perhaps? You see, we don't know how to talk to women. What's this we crap? We don't have a problem. You do. Part of the problem. What does that even mean? He writes, after going through the denial and then the anger, I now realize what I said and how I said it was wrong, wrong, wrong. I mean, it was just wrong. Caitlin Clark, I'm so sorry. It's a funny thing about apologies. The only person that matters in an apology is the person you're apologizing to. A lot of people are going to say, well, this isn't enough, and oh, you don't mean it, and that's all subjective, and you can say it's not enough, you can say he doesn't mean it. I don't have any of those thoughts. The apology isn't for me, it's for Caitlin Clark. And I have no idea if Caitlin Clark was even fazed by what it is Greg Doyle said. I'm sure a lot of people heard it and just thought he was weird, and that's it. I have no idea if Caitlin Clark is still thinking about it, and I don't even want to ask her about it. Unless she wants to call in and talk about it. The apology isn't for me, and it's not for you, and it's not for us to accept or not accept. We are non-existent in this. It's for the person that was offended. And, of course, the person who thinks they did the offense. But just know that if you're writing, I was part of the problem, you still don't understand what happened.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Well-Being at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellBeingAtWork.org.
Yesterday, I heard something I have never heard in my entire life. Ever, ever, ever. And it came from the hearing that took place with the president of Columbia University, Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be with you. The president of Columbia University, Shafiq, her name is Namat Shafiq, did not impress. The board of trustees that were with her in front of this congressional panel, it was the House Education and Workforce Committee. They were, seemed to be, at least from what I was able to watch, a little more upfront. Columbia University is a place chock full of the bigots. I'm talking about chock full. Anybody who sends their kids to Columbia, I don't know what you're thinking, and trust me when I say that this is a this is personal in a way, because I certainly may have some connections in that regard. But there was something that I heard yesterday, and it was Congressman Jim Banks of the Indiana 3rd District, who's the Republican nominee, or I seem the supposed or the presumed Republican nominee for Senate. He was asking the questions. It was about the anti-Semitism on Columbia's campus. Listen.
How Ashkenormativity is defined by your... You don't know if it comes from students or professors at the school, but Ashkenormativity is defined as a system of oppression that favors white Jewish folks based on the assumption that all Jewish folks are Ashkenazi or from Western Europe. So do you have a response to that definition of Ashkenormativity? Is that appropriate? This is handed out to your students.
By other students. It is not a product of the faculty of Columbia University.
It is handed out to your students. Yeah. Obviously, you allow this to be handed out to your students. Is that appropriate?
As I said, it is not a product of the faculty or the administration. It is something that a group of students produced.
Part of the issue here is that these administrators will not say the students are wrong and stop the students from being these ridiculous people, and they won't throw them off the campus. Nope, you're not good enough to be a member of Columbia. Ashkenormativity. Ashkenazi Jews would be from Europe. And I, by the way, Poland and Romania, I think I'd be an Eastern European Jew, but still an Ashkenazi Jew. So I don't think it's just Western Europe. So Jews from Spain, South America would be Sephardic Jews. And I'm generalizing here, but go with me. That's the difference. I have never heard the term a day in my life. Until I heard it come out of Congressman Banks' mouth, I had never, ever heard the term Ashkenormativity. I'm telling you right now, that isn't something in the lexicon. That isn't something that's, what it really means is, no. You want bigotry? Ashkenormativity? Oh, holy hell. You know, I was going to say it, but I don't know if I can say it on radio, but I've said it on radio before, but I don't, I will hold off. Think of the worst thing you can call a Jewish person. That's what this is code for. Ashkenormativity. Son of a gun. Just when you think you've heard it all, these people find another way to hate your guts and really go after your kids, which is exactly what's happening. Which is why you don't send your kids to Columbia. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Tales from the Track, presented by Relay Indiana. What are there, like 9 tickets left? You got Scott Dixon, Monday, May 20th. You've got dinner. You've got the cash bar. You have a private viewing of the Stutz Museum because it's going to be held at Vision Loft Stutz. You've got Hammer and Nigel, door prizes, meet and greets, photos, foot rubs. I don't know. How could you not be there? Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. It is Tales from the Track presented by Relay Indiana with Scott Dixon. This will be May 20th. Vision Loft Stutz, hosted by Hammer and Nigel, and a cash bar, which was important because Nigel was going to be there. So you've got the dinner, you've got the bar, you've got the private viewing of the Stutz Museum, you've got door prizes, you've got the stories from Scott Dixon, and then audience Q&A. It's a good time. It's a good time. Get your tickets while there are still just a few tickets left. That is on May 20th. You can go to WIBC.com. And get the tickets. And thank you, everyone. The announcement went out yesterday. I didn't know the announcement was going out yesterday. And then I look at the radio trades, and it's like, Tony Katz is in national syndication. Look at him. Look at him. Funny, I know that. I know that guy. Wait a second. So I have, throughout the years, described to you the things we're trying to get done and things that we are trying to do. And about a year ago, I guess it was, the conversation started with a group called Key Networks, K-E-Y, and the people here at Urban One. I had attempted syndication. I was doing it on my own. I couldn't do it on my own. There are too many moving parts. You need people who know what they're doing. There's a technical side. There's a business side. There is a sales side. You need it all. And you can't just do it all by yourself. It's maybe my worst characteristic is, bringing others in, and I'm getting better at it, to say the least. Solid outfit, smaller outfit, a solid outfit. And with Urban One and, Dion Levingston, who runs the Indianapolis market for Urban One, with David Wood, the ops manager and program director, with Matt Hiblin, our executive producer, we have put this together. So the announcement came yesterday that Tony Katz Today is now being put out to the world. How big will it grow? I have no idea. What is success? Well, that's a very interesting conversation. Success is about impact. It's not about the number of stations. It's about being in the right places and being able to share conversations with the right people. It isn't about every station. It's just, it's not how I see it. It's about where we can be impactful. And as you guys know, if I'm not on in New York or California, I'm going to sleep like a baby. None of that moves me. None of that bothers me. I did get asked, what does that do to the morning show? And the answer is nothing. I'm still doing exactly what I do in the mornings. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not moving from Indianapolis. I have no plans of that whatsoever. What it would take to get me to leave at this stage of the game is pretty substantial. You know, you do sometimes for the career what needs to be done. You are always aware of that. But no, I think it's here. And I thought that since day one, and people didn't believe me. Well, we're now about to cross the Rubicon of year 10 in June. Maybe now people will start believing. I can say that about others. You were there. And it's because of you I'm in this spot. So I just wanted to say thank you. And this is fun. And I'm only hoping it works. I'm only hoping we're able to all kind of enjoy what this means and what it can bring. With that, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it grows. We're going to work hard. We're going to go convince some stations that I'm the right guy for them. And then we're going to have a cigar. That's all there is to it. Appreciate you guys very much. Matt.